Can you tell me a story?
Sure. Once upon a time, a mom needed a new car.
Was she brave?
She was tired, mostly. But she went to Carvana.com and found a great car at a great price. No secret treasure map required.
Did she have to fight a dragon?
Nope. She bought it 100% online. From her bed, actually.
Was it scary?
Honey, it was as unscary as car buying could be.
Did the car have a sunroof?
It did, actually.
Okay, good story.
Car buying you'll want to tell stories about. Buy your car today on
Carvana.
Delivery fees may apply.
0141 951 1025. It's time to talk football. It's Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Good evening and welcome to Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Lee Griffiths is ready for a Celtic comeback as the Premiership returns this weekend. Alfredo Morelos, his international exploits could rule him out of Rangers' trip to Hamilton. And Scotland will take on Israel, then Norway or Serbia in a bid to reach Euro 2020. I'm Gordon Duncan. Joining me tonight is Alex Ray and Hugh Keevans.
Club football will explode back onto the domestic front this weekend like a burst appendix. But there will be no pain, only gain for Celtic and Rangers against Livingston and Hamilton Accies, Morelos or no Morelos. No guarantees for anybody else in the Premiership, though, whether they're at home or away. But here is the oddest stat of the weekend. Partick Thistle are playing Pennycook Athletic from the East of Scotland Juniors in the Scottish Cup at Firhill tomorrow. The Juniors are bringing 1,500 wow. fans, the biggest away support at Firhill this season. Fippa-daft.
Honest, that's you just can't beat him. Even past his 70th birthday, still out there during the week, digging around, getting these gems, Alex, to bring us on a Friday night.
I'll tell you who told me. Ian McCall, the Partick Thistle manager, was up at Firhill seeing Colley during the week.
On a serious note, Alex, when the international break doesn't go well, it seems really long, and then you're really desperate to get it back. This one was fine, it was good. We now know where we're at, and we'll touch on that later on, I'm sure. But nevertheless, just because of how finely poised it is in the Premiership, can't wait to get back going.
Yeah, for me, it's all about getting back to business. Hugh talks about domestic business. It's the bread and butter. You know, I look at the both Rangers and Celtic. They look on paper to have easy ties, but there is some brilliant ties over the course of the weekend. Hibs Motherwell, Jack Ross's first game. St Mirren at home to Ross County. So there's plenty to review over the course of the next couple of hours.
Possibly one for the second hour or a bit later on, Hugh. But we now know our fate. If we're going to get there, we're going to have to take on Israel, familiar opposition. And then it's a trip to either Serbia or Norway 5 days later.
Well, if you've been realistic, if you can't beat Israel at Hampden, then you've got no place at Euro 2020 anyway. However, I would rather avoid, at all costs, Norway away from home, I think, with the kind of striking power they have, including Mohamed El Yunusi, now at Celtic, and the defensive solidity that they have, including Christopher Ayer, now at Celtic.
0141 951 1025, that's the number you need to get us on. You can tweet us at Clyde SSB. Luckily, last night's third option of turn up at the door and ring the bell is off the table. We're back to basics tonight. Give us a call or send us a tweet and let us know what's on your mind. Domestic football's back. I know some of you long for the day when the domestic football returns, so there are no excuses. Everyone's involved over the weekend. Give us a call, let us know what you're thinking.
My wife did say to me, "You're not bringing that lot up here, you know."
That's so. The next step. We're working on that for a Christmas special. Christmas
you can
Eve.
You come up to my house.
Christmas Eve at Shuggies.
The West Wing, Hugo.
Yeah, plenty of space in Casa Rae, I must say.
I'm
going to have to look into that one. Anyway, give us a call, please, on the lines or on Twitter at Clyde SSB. Let's go through some of the talking points. Lee Griffiths could be set to make his first appearance since August this weekend. The striker is included in the squad for tomorrow's game against Livingston. He scored a double for the reserves in midweek. If you keep an eye on these things, Celtic boss Neil Lennon says he's worked hard to get to this point again.
Slowly but surely, it's, you know, he had an hour there on Tuesday. You know, he looked good in the hour. So he'll be in and around it now. You know, he's happy and he needs to stay there now. He needs to not only stay there, improve his conditioning, keep improving it. You know, it's bit by bit, but, you know, seen enough now to think, you know, he may make a contribution. We've got 11 games between now and the end of December, and, you know, we will be using the squad, and Lee obviously is a part of that.
if you're a human being with any sensitivity, you want to see a man who's been deeply troubled for almost a year come back from that personal issue that he's been dealing with. If you're a rival fan, you don't want to see Celtic getting Lee Griffiths back on top of Odson Edouard. But for Celtic, what a timely return it would be if Lee Griffiths can come back and maintain his comeback. There's plenty of time between now and the transfer window. Celtic have Odson Edouard and then no backup unless Lee Griffiths can come back the player that he was. So good luck to him.
Yeah, absolutely. I think it's good to see him back. It's been a really tough road for him. You know, he's obviously he's off field issues, and then like try to get back up healthy and to get the couple of goals so quickly. It's obviously fast tracked him into Neil Lennon's plans. And with the 11 games, as Neil said, they're going to need everyone to kind of facilitate these games.
Yeah, I mean, Celtic clearly need, whether it's Lee Griffiths or anyone else, Hugh, they just need somebody to help Odson Edouard. It's more significant because it is Lee Griffiths. Everyone knows what he's capable of. Yeah. Everyone knows what he's been through as well. Would you expect to see him feature tomorrow? He is in the squad. He's played 3 league games in 2019. Now, 2019 is almost over, in case you hadn't noticed. Yeah. He's played 3 league games in 2019. These things end up... you know, time goes by so fast, and all of a sudden you realise just how long it's been.
Well, therefore, the scenario tomorrow, I would imagine, would be that Neil Lennon would hope to see Celtic build up a convincing lead against Livingston. Lee Griffiths would come on to tumultuous reception from the Celtic fans, and then they would hope to see him score a goal and kick on from there.
And we're back to that old... pendulum Alex of Celtic playing Saturday. What can they do? What sort of marker do they put down? And then Rangers will have to respond appropriately on Sunday.
Yeah, absolutely. And when you look at Livingston's form recently, I think it's 1-1-10. You know, I think that was obviously against Celtic as well. So I would expect Celtic, particularly at home, Gordon, we've mentioned this time after time how dominant they are and ability to rack up some goals as well in terms of the goal difference at the end of the season. So in terms of Lee Griffiths, what you just mentioned there, I would expect him to get a little cameo at the end. I wouldn't expect him to play a long part, Gordon, purely for the point as he hasn't played since August. So it's just a case of phasing him in slowly.
And then again, you don't have to compare them. It's not a competition, but by the simple fact that it's away from home, does Rangers' challenge this weekend go down as the harder one?
I think the fact that you have AstroTurf, I think... if you look back at recent times, I think you've got George Oakley up top, you've got Miller as well who can score goals, so I think they've got a goal in them. But when you look at the form as well, Gordon, I think it's 1-1-12 and that was against Livingston, so they're hardly pulling up any trees either. So I would expect the both of them to come through unscathed.
Right, 0141 951 1025, and the phones, Twitter is at Clyde SSB. Let's speak to Ryan, who's from Wishart, but he's actually just a bit outside Wishart at the moment. He's in Cancun, Mexico. Hi Ryan.
Hi there, Gordon. How you doing?
I'm not too bad. How are you? Better than us, I suspect. It's freezing
I'm
here.
I'm good, mate. Oh, I know that. I thought that's why I actually phoned up. I thought I would just drop it in because I know you were meant to be in Dubai, and I thought I would just phone up and say, well, I'm in Mexico and it's about 29 degrees, so can't complain.
Hugh, that's the level of sympathy and understanding you get from the football fan base in this country. You can't beat it. Warm, heartening.
Merry Christmas, Ryan. We hope it pours tomorrow.
Monsoon.
Will you be managing to watch the game, Ryan, tomorrow? Will you watch the game tomorrow?
Well, I might manage to see it. It's on around about 10 a.m, so I might have a pina colada in my hand watching the game.
Will you be back in by then, Ryan? Will you be back home by then? You'll just be getting in.
No. Well, you never know. I mean, I was on it last night. I was at Coco Bongo's last night, so I'm a bit worse for wear today. That's why I thought I'd get the phone in, listen to you guys and have a few cocktails.
Quite right. What about the football then? What are you expecting? Anything untoward? Or does this go down as a straightforward weekend for Celtic in your eyes?
Well, I would like to think it's going to be a straightforward weekend. I mean, as I was saying, you know, Neil Lennon's doing a fantastic job. I have to admit, I was one of the guys who first questioned when he came back in, but hats off to him. He's been great in Europe as well. The game against Lazio was fantastic. And I think tomorrow, you know, we should be looking at a convincing 3 or 4 nil. I mean, one of my main points as well is great to see Steve Clark performing very well with Scotland. I think, as you say, it's going to be, you know, we should be able to beat Israel at Hampden, but Serbia or Norway isn't going to be any easy feat. And that's why I'm hoping as well that Lee Griffiths comes back with a point to prove, and maybe he can put himself in contention next year for these playoffs. But yeah, I think tomorrow, I think we need to make another statement. You know, Rangers are doing very well. I said at the start of the season it would be another helicopter Sunday, and I still firmly believe that. But I think tomorrow should be pretty straightforward, and hopefully Hamilton can do us a favour and maybe Rangers drop a few points on Sunday.
Celtic are undefeated at home in the league this season. Livy embarrassed them, I thought, at the spaghetti ad. I thought Celtic were very, very poor. Livy were very good. And the combination of both led to Celtic leaving behind all 3 points. However, at Celtic Park tomorrow, it would be a major mistake on Celtic's part. A calamitous blow to them if they were to lose the game to Livy. I can only see a Celtic victory by 2 or 3.
If you're looking for clues, Alex, of signs of weakness, if you like, among Celtic and Rangers at home, there haven't been many. Motherwell pushed Rangers kind of close at Ibrox.
Yeah.
Did okay as well at Celtic Park. But that aside, we're still waiting for the first sign that some team can go there and get at them and make life difficult.
I just look across the league, and out with either Rangers and Celtic, I do not know where a win for anyone else is going to come, particularly at Parkhead or at Ibrox, because when you look at the personnel that they both have at the moment, in terms of even in the bench, you know, guys that can change the match, and then I look at what, you know, your Livingston and your Hamiltons have, and I just don't see them having it. You know, you think, can Lyndon Dykes have another performance like he did a couple of weeks ago? You know, Little Lawless, Pittman, they just don't have enough of the ball, Gordon, you know, and unless they kind of keep it compact and then hope for the odd little free kick or a long throw, because they obviously get some joy from that. But in the main, I can't see them touching them.
We don't want to get ahead of ourselves, Ryan. Lee Griffiths hasn't even come back yet. He's not played a lot of football, but if this is to be the first stage on his return, how important could the timing be for Celtic? Because we know that the festive period is busy, to say the least. Celtic are going to be fighting on a couple of fronts. Could this be a real crucial time for him to come back in?
Well, I would say so. I mean, it's, in my opinion, it's very much a case of if he doesn't come back and start firing in the goals, we have to go out in January and spend some money. Bio isn't looking the part, in my opinion. He also seems to be a bit injury prone as well. Eduard is fantastic, and, you know, but we need to remember the guy's only 20, 21, and he needs a rest and he needs some help. But as far as I'm concerned, looking into December, it's going to be a massive and a crucial month with the Old Firm Cup final and then the Old Firm at the end of December. My hope is Celtic just manage to whitewash everybody while Rangers drop a few points on the road. But I'll just add, guys, I'm just going to go and get another pina colada, so you guys enjoy the cold, and I'll enjoy my next another 5 days out here in Cancun, okay?
Brilliant, Ryan, you enjoy yourself. Please drink responsibly. That was Ryan from Wisha in Cancun. 01419511025 on the lines. Twitter is at ClydeSSB. Speaking about Celtic strikers, no real surprise, there's speculation about Odson Edouard giving the form he's been in. Neil Lennon says any clubs coming in for him in January will be wasting their time.
Can't stop them. You know, we don't want to sell. And he's a real asset for us, and I would doubt we would, like I said, you know, weeks ago, I'm quite comfortable about January with the business that we've done the first half of the season. I don't envisage any of our players, you know, leaving for, you know, especially, you know, the real assets that we have in the team, because, you know, we have a job to do here, and we're really sort of focused on the season ahead. And like, you know, I can't stop teams coming in and making bids, but, you know, as far as I'm concerned, he's not for sale.
Z is a Celtic fan from Falkirk, talking about Lee Griffiths, Odson Edouard. Z, how do you feel about Celtic striking options at the moment?
Well, at the moment, I think Celtic have got a very good strike force technically. They play with the ball very good at the feet. But my point was going to be, I still think even if Lee Griffiths came back, was banging in goals before January, Celtic need to still go out and strengthen up front. And we need a different kind of striker, in my opinion. Like, I watch Morelos play. Morelos is a different kind of striker to Edouard. Edouard's fantastic. I'd have Edouard over the two of them. But Morelos brings something different to a team. And I think Celtic needs that kind of player. A boy that can even come on for 10, 20 minutes at the end of a game. You can lump a ball along when you need a goal. Something different to what we've not got at the moment.
Well, I agree that Celtic do need to explore the purchase of a striker because they, along with the fans, have to wait and see how Lee Griffiths does come back, whether it's a permanent comeback or a troubled comeback. Celtic will need to look at options in January. I understand what you're talking about. You know, the John Hartson, Chris Sutton type that would really give opposition defences something to think about and have a goal threat at the same time. Whatever Neil Lennon has in mind, Celtic do need to explore the striker market.
Is there a danger though that you go for someone so different, someone so different from what you've already got, but what in actual fact that means is that it doesn't suit the style of play that Celtic play with anyway? Is that a potential danger?
Aye, that is a potential danger, but you always need to have a backup. Like, see, when Celtic, the game that comes to my mind is the Livingston away game when we got beat. And Odson Edward, for all he is, sometimes he drifts to the left, sometimes he drifts to the right, and you've got Forrest going through the middle or Elianissi. But sometimes these boys get out-muscled a little bit. But when you watch, like, somebody like John Hartson back in the day, he would be hustling with the defenders and making them weaker, whereas our strike force sometimes, when it gets tough a little bit, sometimes, like, don't fancy it, if you know what I mean.
I think there are many reasons why Celtic went down at Livingston. I wouldn't blame Odson Edward. He had an off day, or a day that fell beneath his very high standards. But I think Gordon makes an interesting point that Neil Lennon has now developed a style of play, and he doesn't necessarily need a John Hartson or a Chris Sutton. Very happy to take one if they came along. But I think he has a style of play in mind, and therefore a style of player in mind.
Yeah, I think if you look at Griffiths, I think the next few weeks are paramount for his where he goes from here on in. If you look at the personnel that Celtic have at their disposal, Edward, Griffiths, Rogic, Sinclair, Elanusi, Hayes, Bio, Forrest, Christie. Now, if you're talking about adding another guy with a bit of height, a bit of presence, he, for me, would be warming the bench because Edward brings that in abundance. You know, he's bullying people, he's out-muscling people, he's power running, he's scoring goals, and he's bringing people into play. So he would probably sit on the bench because I think he's played 24 games or so far, Edward. I don't see that guy easing up any time soon due to the fact he's only a young boy with everything in front of him.
Thank you very much to Z in Falkirk, 0141 951 1025. Neil Lennon's actually just popped up on the television, Hugh, in his Celtic tracksuit, as you're used to, which made me think about having seen him this morning in his tuxedo. Yes. Conducting the choir in Celtic's Christmas advert. And I just can't help but wondering if a part for you is round the corner somewhere. It seems to me like the next obvious step.
Well, an elf or maybe a skelf. But I have a big Christmas plan in mind of my own.
Do you?
Yeah.
You going for? All right. Okay.
But let's reiterate, for a small fee, it's available for.
It's available for time. The advert was pretty funny, I must admit. But I think I can definitely see a part for you next year. Right. 01419511025. Rangers fans, ideal time for you to get involved because we're about to hear from Steven Gerrard. He's singing the praises of Glenn Kamara. Is there going to be any interest in him in January? And Alfredo Morelos, he's been away on international duty, and that might rule him out of the weekend. Is that okay? Jermaine Defoe just come in and take his place, or is that a bit of a concern? Let us know right now. We'll get some travel with Amber.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard with Thompson's Road Accident Solicitors. The compensation you deserve when you've been sidelined. Talk to Thompson's.com.
Alex Ray and Hugh Keevans here with me, Gordon Duncan, on tonight's Clyde One Super Scoreboard. I must say, Alex, I feel like he's looking sharper than usual.
Oh, dapper
tonight,
Dan, dapper
Mr.
Dan.
Keevans. I mean, I know he always is. He's a man of impeccable standards, but I don't know, there's just something about that tie and collar combination.
He means business.
I'll tell you
he
why.
Means business.
Because I thought I'd go retro tonight, because the listeners should know that the lads are going out tonight for a bit of a meal.
As in us three.
And several others. So I thought I'll go retro. I'll go the way I used to be when I worked in the newspaper industry, and I'll put a collar and tie on.
He's looking good. He is looking good, isn't he?
Oh, he's looking brilliant. He's put me to shame. I'm Sport Billy here.
And I also feel like your apprentice, Hugh, because you are known across the country as Lord Lift.
Correct.
And I am temporarily Lord Lift Junior because I can't drive. So Alex Ray is going to have to take us both.
Oh yes.
There you are. Lord Lift
via the Savoy tonight, Hugo.
Lord Lift and Lord Lift Light.
Honestly, Hugh Keevan's apprentice. What does it become, right? 01419511025 at Clyde SSB. Let's hear from you Rangers fans right now. Stephen Gerrard says Glenn Kamara's going nowhere, hopefully, amid reported interest in the Rangers midfielder. The 23-year-old been in decent form since moving to Ibrox from Dundee in January. Recently been linked with a number of clubs, many of which in England. The manager says at the moment, though, no firm interest.
Glenn's doing fine. Glenn got a real good, strong contract here when he came from Dundee. And we pounced for him nice and early to make sure he got here 6 months in advance. So he's got a real strong, healthy contract. He's in good form. He's playing well. But the message for Glenn and the other players out there is we always reward our players for consistent performances over a long period of time. And Glenn will be treated no different. So all the players need to continue to win football matches and try and do everything they can to bring success back to the club, and then they won't have to worry about contracts. I'm sure they'll get well looked after. He's still young as well, of course. He's going to have days where he's not 9, 10 out of 10, of course. He's a human being, but I've been absolutely delighted with Glenn Kamara since he came in the door, and sometimes I still have to pinch myself to realise that we got that player for how we did and what we got him for.
An absolute snip, Gordon. And when you look at his performances this year, he's featured in all the big games. Legia Warsaw, Feyenoord, Young Boys. And, you know, I think that's him just qualified as well for Finland. So to get him for a song, it was reported to be 50 grand. You look at his technical ability. I think one of the key things that Rangers were missing recent years was people who could keep the ball, manipulate the ball. And he can do that in a bunch. And again, he's going to learn with Gerrard, Gary McAllister round about him as well, Stephen Davis and the team. Jack's gone to a new level as well. So the future's bright. And you know, there's no firm interest, as he said there. However, if he continues to play like that, I'm sure there will be.
Time will tell how good a signing Glenn Kamara becomes, Hugh. He's already been a good, at 50 grand he's already a good signing, I think that's clear. Because in nowadays, you know, that market, that's clearly not very much money. However, if he helps Rangers win something, or he then goes for multiple times that 50 grand, that's when you fully realise just how good a piece of business it's been.
If I'm at Dundee, I turn to someone and say,
why was he not playing?
Why did we let this guy
go? Well, the contract was almost up, wasn't it?
Yeah, but he wasn't playing either, Gordon. So you at least play him, and then you try and entice him into signing a longer term contract.
There will be a list of players who, because of Rangers' financial situation, will be allowed to go in January. Happily allowed to go in January to get them off the wage bill. But Kamara, no matter the money offered for him, should any come along, will not be sold in January. Like Morelos, like any player that Steven Gerrard believes
would you really,
can win the title.
Would you really put him in the same bracket though, given
not the same bracket, Gordon, but if someone was of a mind to offer however many, 2, 3, 4 million, whatever, for Kamara, he would fall under the category of those who are going nowhere in January. We, you know, have a think about it in the summertime, but not mid-championship.
It's an interesting point in terms of Kamara, because I think it would go for a lot more. If you're talking about English Premiership clubs, I think 2 million is an absolute snip. I think it would be a considerably higher than that. When I look at some of the players that are actually playing at that kind of level, having spoken to one or two Premier League managers in the summer, you know, it's just so inflated to you. So if there was a bid, it's an interesting point. I know we're obviously not trying to get people out the door. He says there's no firm interest. If there was a substantial offer for him, I think Rangers would be better placed in terms of getting a midfielder in. You know, you've got Andy King still there, you've got Arfield still there. Yeah, so you've got cover there from that. Whereas I think it's a different proposition with Morelos due to the fact what he brings to the team goal wise.
Alfredo Morelos is a doubt for the game at Hamilton on Sunday. He's not even back yet from international duty. I don't think he returns until tomorrow, so it's fairly obvious the reason for that. He did score his first goal for Colombia last week though. Steven Gerrard says that's something he knew was coming.
We're very pleased for him. I think from our point of view it was only a matter of time. I think the form he's in, not just the talent and the ability to score goals, I think his all-round game and his behaviour certainly improved. We know if we can keep him in this moment, we knew it was only going to be a matter of time before A, he'd get called up, 2, he'd get an opportunity, and 3, he'd score a goal, because that's what he does. People forget he's still 22. His numbers speak for themselves. He's box office, and that's the reason why everyone talks about him and questions him and sets him the next challenge. But I've got no doubt he'll continue to answer all the questions that come his way. If he stays focused, if he keeps living for the game, I've got no doubt that he'll continue to break many, many records.
Alex, I was saying before the break, you know, is that a concern for Rangers that he might not be available? You would probably think not, yeah, because Jermaine Defoe's waiting in the wings. Gary says, I can't tell if Gordon's been serious asking if it's not starting's a concern. 10 goals in 10 games for Jermaine Defoe, huge concern, he says very sarcastically. Well, I take it your answer to my question, Gary, then is no. That's why I asked the question, then therefore you can answer it.
I think if you look at Jermaine Defoe's last couple of games against Hamilton, he's got 4 goals in his last 2 games, Hugh. I don't think it would be an issue in the slightest putting Defoe in there. You're talking about a guy who's got real quality, his movement, and if you get the service in around about the box, he will score for fun. So I don't think it would be a big issue at all if Morelos didn't make it at the weekend.
Brian Rice has already said that he has injury problems and he's not best placed to be taking on Rangers. I think that Steven Gerrard could easily let Alfredo Morelos sit this one out. Whether it's Defoe or other players who are capable of chipping in with goals, the loss of Morelos through understandable circumstances makes no difference. Rangers will start overwhelming favourites.
At the same time, Alex, there's every chance that he does play. It just sort of strikes you as the type of guy, I mean, he's very rarely injured anyway, very rarely carrying a niggle. Pretty sure he'll be desperate to play. I don't think anyone would be too surprised, would they, to see him in the starting 11, even though he doesn't get back until, I think it's tomorrow.
Yeah, I wouldn't surprise me in the slightest, Gordon. It depends on what the travelling takes out on Gordon, because he's obviously played day games for Colombia. He will, you know, they'll assess him, they will look at him. But for me, if I'm Morelos, I'm wanting to play, because if I'm sitting on 23 goals an hour, I'm feeling as if I can score in every single game. And he's almost averaging a goal a game at the moment. So he could go to Hamilton and rack up a couple of goals, which would put him firmly in place to be the top scorer in the league.
Let's take a call from Andrew, who is a Rangers fan in Cumbernauld. Hi, Andrew.
Hi, panel. How are you tonight?
Good, thank you, Andrew. What's on your mind?
My point is, I know they've tried it a couple of times, but I don't think they've really stuck with it, is to have the two of them up front, Defoe and Morelos up front. I think it could become a great partnership, going back to days like McCoist and Haitley. Defoe likes to sort of center himself around the penalty box, whereas Morelos likes to get himself all around outside the penalty box, and I think they could feed off each other.
You would have to assume that if Steven Gerrard has not gone with this plan and shows no sign of going with that plan, that he doesn't fancy the idea. He's quite happy to have Morelos making a severe nuisance of himself to the clubs he plays against, and Defoe is there either to come on later in the game or, like this weekend I suspect, to take the place of Morelos because he can't be there. So I think Steven Gerrard will leave things as they are.
Andrew, if one of them's got 13 goals and one of them's got 22, I suppose what I'm trying to say is, what more is it you're looking for? Does it not suggest that just playing one of them is working fine?
I think it's working fine. I think we still need to sort of bang in some more goals, because the way it's going at the moment, Rangers and Celtic are going toe for toe for points, and I think maybe at the end of the season it could maybe come down to goal difference.
But I think people make an innocent assumption that if you put the two of them on the park at the same time, automatically the goals tally will double. It doesn't always function like that. And I repeat, if Steven Gerrard hasn't done it by this time, he's got no intention of doing it.
Yeah, I mean, Alex, I can see where Andrew's coming from, obviously, but that idea that more strikers equals more goals just doesn't always pan out, does it? Because the whole structure of the team has to change.
Yeah, absolutely. I think Steven Gerrard's preferred shape for me is a 4-3-3. You know, he likes to have the two wide guys coming in narrow, and he likes to get his fullbacks down the side. I think when you look at the goals that Rangers and Celtic have scored, I think it's 35 for Rangers, 36 for Celtic. So it's, you know, they're neck and neck in terms of that. There has been times this year where they have gone two up here, you know, when they've brought Defoe on or vice versa, and they've just thrown a two up because they're cantering. It's, you know, Morelos was looking to try and get a hat trick a couple of weeks ago. You remember he took him off against Ross County, and you seen his demeanour kind of went, oh no, why am I going after you when I've scored a couple? I think the following game on the Sunday there, I'm sure they bought the two of them on. So they have played with the two, but they prefer the one up front with the two wider guys coming in to join up.
Andrew and Cumbernauld, thank you very much for the call. Let's move swiftly on and squeeze another one in. Brian is in Pollock. Hi, Brian.
Hi, how you doing, Bob?
Good, Brian. What you got for us tonight?
Just, pick up a wee point that Hugh was making there. It was about Kamara would fall into the will not be sold category in January.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm assuming that that's Morelos would be the main one for that. But Steven Gerrard said himself a couple of weeks ago that it would be sold over his dead body, I think it was, and then a week later backtracked on it and said it would be the board's decision.
Well,
so, I don't think, with the position that Rangers are in, with, was it 11 million they said they needed to see out the season?
10.
And that's before you count the Sports Direct money that will eventually come calling. I don't think Rangers are in a position to refuse any offers.
Well, yeah they are, because
they've been given assurances by the board that they will see that through to next summer.
Loans will be given. Rangers are on a strategy, a clearly thought out strategy that they will do whatever is necessary to stop Celtic.
Yeah, like, and you don't have to agree with it, and you don't have to think it's a good strategy, but that's where it is. It's been pretty consistent.
Now, I understand that recorded losses of £11 million, the apparent need for £10 million to get from now until the end of the season, I understand that under normal economic business circumstances, you would happily accept money for Alfredo Morelos. However, this is Planet Scotland, and this is Celtic going for 9 in a row, and you can't get 10 unless you win 9. And therefore, Dave King has clearly done whatever is necessary in order of borrowings and everything else to stop Celtic. There is no other strategy. It is simply to stop Celtic. And therefore, if an offer comes in for Morelos or Kamara or any other player currently, like Ryan Jack, to pluck a name out of the air, currently doing very well for Rangers, they will not be sold because the club understand the ramifications of selling them. And the ramifications are they'll be accused of betrayal by the supporters, and they can't have that.
It's my understanding, now Brian's obviously come on here and he's concerned about the financial aspect at Rangers without actually having any...
I don't know if concern's the right word.
Well, he's come on here kind of sharing his thoughts. So my understanding is that at the turn of the year there will be another share issue done which will provide considerable money. And there's going to be a major investment coming into Rangers.
I've heard this stuff quite a lot, though, haven't we?
Yeah, you might have heard it, but I've heard it from a very high source at Ibrox. So I would prefer to believe that than anybody from Twitterati.
Okay, if you say so. 01419511025. Thank you to Brian and Pollock on the line. Remember, we are on Twitter at Clyde SSB. Let's get stuck right back into previewing this weekend's football action. I know the international scene isn't everyone's cup of tea, but we are back with a bang this weekend. Premiership card, we've got Scottish Cup action tonight as well, in fact. Some big ties across the weekend, so let's hear from you. And if you call right now, we could be speaking to you after the travel with Amber.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard with Thompson's Personal Injury Solicitors, the league leader for compensation. Talk to Thompson's.com.
It's Hugh Keevans and Alex Ray here with me, Gordon Duncan. A couple of ways for you to get in touch. The first one is on the phone, as always, same number, 01419511025. And on Twitter, we're there as well at Clyde SSB. John is on. John Strzelecki says, great to get back to the domestic stuff. Really looking forward to Rangers Hamilton. Our strong, confident squad defeating a Leicester team 3-0 in a bounce game kept us going during the break. We should get the 3 points in our push for the title. And the great thing about Twitter, Hugh, you can't get tone. You don't know if there's a tongue-in-cheek. Andrew quite simply says, I think Rangers will win 8-0. I don't know.
Well, I don't think
possibly not to that extent, but you never know.
They will win convincingly. Of that I am certain. You can take my guarantee to the bank.
You're not certain. You're never certain. You can't possibly.
I'm always certain.
Record.
I'm never right. I'm always certain.
Fair enough. I suppose there is a subtle difference. But yeah, looking ahead to some cracking fixtures over the weekend, like we say, Scottish Cup games as well. We've even got a cracker Friday night football as well. Falkirk are in action. Linlithgow Rose, near neighbours.
You know, they've got rid of
the romance
McKinnon.
Of the cup, Hugh.
Yeah, it will be divorce unless they do it. They've got rid of Ray McKinnon. They've got an interim management pairing. They've slipped down the league table, and for Falkirk to be in the third tier of Scottish football is bad enough. But with the greatest respect to Linlithgow Rose, if they're put out of the cup by Linlithgow Rose, there will be trouble.
What else has taken your fancy in the Premiership tomorrow, Alex? I mean,
yeah,
I think
a couple of games
many
actually.
Eyes on
on Hibs and Jack Ross, his first game in charge. I suppose that would be an ideal starting point.
Yeah, we've said for several weeks now, Gordon, the importance of the Edinburgh clubs getting their act together. They obviously get a win the last time out. Jack Ross is now in charge. This is an opportunity. Stephen Robinson continues to impress, Gordon. Austin McPhee, the big audition still goes on. You know, he's been bumping his gums about 4 out of 5 wins while interim manager. He's been throwing hand grenades at biscuits, Alan Preston, you know, for slating him. So, you know, he's got the gloves off. He means business. They've got a tough game down at Kamarnock. I think Kamarnock's on a wee bit of a slump at the moment. Is that 3 defeats in a row?
They had defensive injury problems, didn't they? But looking to try and get back in amongst the victories, I'm sure.
I was at Rugby Park today, meeting Gordon's pal Dom Thomas, among others, old pals like Billy Thompson there and Andy Millen.
Good guys, eh?
Listen, it looked a very professional setup to me, Alec. I think that Hearts are on tricky ground tomorrow, not necessarily because of that awful synthetic surface, but yeah, Kilmarnock are due a comeback result, and it might just be tomorrow.
I think when you look at the, we said a couple of weeks ago, Hugh, the importance of Naismith and Walker coming back into the fold. They both scored on their return. So it'll depend for me on the Kilmarnock back line. If he can get big Finlay back, you know, he's important to them because
back, I saw him training there this morning. He was,
oh, don't give away the secrets, Hugh. Well, the Hearts, maybe Hearts people are listening.
Well, I saw him sitting on a fence but
you'd never get you doing that, would you?
No. He certainly seemed in good spirits, though.
01419511025. Jimmy is in Cambus Lang. Jimmy, what have you got for us tonight?
I'm totally hi, pal.
Hi, Jimmy.
I'm totally embarrassed about Scott Brown.
All right.
He walks away and leaves Scotland in the lurch, and then he's got his cheek to say, "If you qualify, I'll come back." So we see the person that's, I don't know what the squad will think, because they think, who's going to get dropped for Scott Brown to come in? Utter shameful.
I don't think the word shameful can be applied to it. He was asked a question.
No,
listen, there are many things in this life that are shameful. A football player coming back to play for his country cannot be termed shameful. He was asked a question. I'm trying very hard to answer your question. The player, Scott Brown, was asked a question in a press conference and floated the possibility, no more than the possibility, that if he was asked, he might consider coming back. I happen to believe that Steve Clark is in the department which is headlined Beggars Can't Be Choosers. If Scott Brown wanted to come back and help the qualification effort, then bearing in mind that we might have to play Norway away in the final qualifier, if he wanted to come back, then we are not rich or so rich in players that we can say, no, you're all right.
Let's just clear it up though, Alex, as best as we can. It's one of those that I think you benefit most if you were there, if you saw him answer the question and you get a real feel. But just to clear up something Jimmy accuses Scott Brown has not said, "I will be back if we reach the Euros." In fact, far from it. I'll read the quotes exactly. But the problem with reading them is, like I say, you don't get body language, you don't get the look in the face. It just quite simply says, I think the question, you know, has Stevie Clark sounded you out if they make it through the playoffs? And he said, they still have 2 games to get through, but you never say never. It would be phenomenal to get to finals after 22 years. Football's a funny game. I'm in a good place fitness-wise. I make sure I keep myself ticking over. It's been hard for me to watch Scotland games because you want to be playing in them, but I need to look after number one though. My wish is I could still be playing for Celtic and Scotland at the age of 45, but there comes a time when you have to make sure your body's okay and give yourself the best chance of continuing to play for your club. It's not exactly him saying, right, book me a ticket. Yes. You know, it's,
I think a lot of, most of this has been taken out of context. I think he's obviously kind of saying, "Oh, never rule it out." But the actual reality is that door is closed. For me, it's closed. You could not bring him back in the summer, having walked away for a second time. It would not wash. I think the caller makes, Jimmy makes a point where, what would the squad think? And I take you in saying, "Oh, we're not kind of over, you know, blessed with talent. But when you look at the midfield department, I think that's your strongest area. You know, you look at McGinn, McTominay, Jackson Emerging, Armstrong, Callum McGregor. So these guys are committed to try and get them. They're putting their legwork in now.
So for instance, do you think it would be a different story? And I know there's not been the same retirement and all the rest of it, but say Stephen Fletcher turns around in the summer and says, look, I know I've not been available, but I'm here if you need me. That might be different because you're a bit short on the ground. Is that what you're trying to say?
Yeah, different areas. I think Fletcher comes under that bracket as well.
He's not retired anyway, by the way, for what it's worth.
Yeah,
he's just
the fact that he hasn't pitched up when you're in the qualifications, I don't think it shows a commitment. I think that's one of the key things that people have been labelling it, people who have been calling off. So if they're not committed to the qualifications and the playoffs, they're no up for grabs in the summer for me.
Jimmy, do you see the difference there? Scott Brown's not saying count me in, he's sort of just brushing it off and saying never say never. Surely there's a bit of a difference.
No, all the players you mentioned there, who would you drop to bring Scott Brown in?
Yeah, I mean that's a different argument, and it's an interesting one here.
Again, Jimmy is accusing Scott Brown of asking to be put ahead of players who are already there. Scott Brown was asked a hypothetical question, gave a hypothetical answer, and in our narrow wee world here, that is construed by Jimmy as shameful.
That's all right. It's not like you to sometimes use over-the-top language to get your point across.
But I would like to think that I come from the standpoint of accuracy.
Sometimes.
He didn't ask. And the only person who's important in this is Steve Clark. Yeah. If Steve Clark wanted to ask Scott Brown, he could. But as yet, it is a fantasy situation.
Yeah, personally, I just can't see it happening. I think they've got bigger issues. I think people should focus on
the. You think we've heard the last of this?
Yeah, listen, I think you obviously get a couple of callers over the next couple of days, but as it's progressing and they have to deal with Israel and then potentially Norway or Serbia, I think that will be put in the back burner. He may well be asked a question further down the line and he might go, aye, I want in. But then we have a discussion because it's more categoric that he wants to be involved. But personally, haven't seen him come back, not quite worked. I think you have to read into actually some of his comments there as well, in terms of I've got to look after number one, and that's obviously trying to do his best for Celtic. I think the international door is well and truly closed for him.
Scott Brown is a wind up merchant. He's been asked a question, he's given a wind up merchant's answer. They've all had their back page headline out of it this morning. Jimmy's called it shameful. We're off and running, and there's not a grain of truth in the story at all.
Speaking of which, though, I noticed they had his big night last night, didn't they? An evening with Bruni. When we take you out for dinner later on tonight for your birthday, it will be an evening with Shuggy.
Yes.
Slightly smaller audience, it must be said, but he had his evening with Bruni last night, and I believe the infamous story came up, and it was good to hear the, albeit third hand, third hand, is that a thing? The story where he is not too happy with you. He is about to throw you in Loch Lomond, and you threaten to grass him into Dermot Desmond, even though you don't know Dermot Desmond's number, but you do it anyway as a defence mechanism. I've heard you tell the story many times on the show, and Scott Brown told it himself last night, apparently.
Although he embellished it.
Did he?
I've had the full Twitterati coverage of it all. As I said to a friend of mine today, I have told this story so often I should record it and release it as my Christmas single. But apparently, and I understand, Bruni's in front of an audience of however many people, 2,000 or 3,000, and he's embellished the story. He said that he had me pinned against a wall. No such thing ever occurred. It was handbags, lots of verbals. And yes, I did say to Paul Hartley, who broke up the whole thing, yes, I think you're quite right, Paul, take him away before I call Dermot Desmond. I only did that because I thought, Bruni's getting very, very agitated here. I'm glad to see Paul Hartley coming in. And as you rightly say, Gordon, I could not phone Dermot Desmond because I have never had a number for Dermot Desmond. So if Bruni embellished it to get a laugh out of the crowd, good luck to him, but it is simply untrue.
I had you backed up against a wall, pinned up against the wall. No, he was in your... it's all the same to us, Hugh. We love the story.
We're at the door of the Loch Lomond... Was that a hotel called? The Cameron House in Loch Lomond.
Yes.
We're at the door of the Cameron House. I never reached the wall, but there was, as I say, plenty of
Verbals and handbags, but no laying on of hands.
Let's not start a debate as to how close you were to the wall. That's the last level of debate that we need.
But I did think he's going to chip me into Loch Lomond.
There we go. So by and large, the story's there. We'll move on.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
Beat the Pundit time. I'm so glad it's going to be a bit more straightforward than last night, Hugh. As you well know, we did the show live from my living room last night. I had to send Gordon DL out the back door whilst Beat the Pundit was on, so that he couldn't hear the contestants' answers. So much easier tonight. Your chance to beat the Pundit is here. It's 01419511025. You come on, answer as many questions right as you can, and try and beat Hugh Keevans or Alex Ray to the sign ball.
You took a real chance there, given that Gordon DL is the man who once walked into the wrong house entirely while looking for Jock McStay.
He's been a nightmare. He's been on the phone today moaning that did I leave my hot water bottle in your house? Oh, dear. He's a nightmare. Anyway, 01419511025. The lines close at 7 o'clock, so be quick for Beat the Pundit.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard with Thompson's Personal Injury Solicitors, the form team for compensation for more than 40 years. Talk to Thompson's.com.
Hugh Keevans and Alex Ray here with me, Gordon Duncan, on tonight's Clyde One Super Scoreboard. We have been looking ahead to the return of domestic football. It's got us all quite excited. Celtic taking on Livingston, some other big games tomorrow, Hamilton Rangers on Sunday. We've even got Friday night football, Linlithgow Rose against Falkirk, about to kick off. It looks freezing. It does not look for the faint of heart in that one. And we'll see. What about Scotland then? Drawn to face Israel at home, and then on to the winner of Norway against Serbia. What do you think of that draw? Is that a good draw? Is it a tough draw somewhere in the middle? What do you make of it? Now's a good time to get involved. We're going to talk about that. 01419511025. This first.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
Our contestant tonight is Mark. Mark's in Clydebank, which is always good, Mark. It means we don't need to go far if you win the signed ball. I'll get Alex Ray to drop it off on the way home. How are you tonight?
That'd be nice. Aye, great. Thanks. How are you guys?
Good stuff. Mark's a Celtic fan. It's what his face if Alex Ray turns up at his door on a Friday night.
Halloween early.
My girlfriend would be delighted, but she's a Rangers fan.
There we go. Then. Someday we'll be happy to see him anyway. I'll toss the coin, Mark. If it's heads, you are up against Hugh Keevans. And if it's tails, you are up against Alex Ray. So let's see what we've got. And it's tails. It's Alex Ray against Mark from Clyde.
See you past eight, Mark.
So, let me give. I'm going to give you some Clyde 2, sure. Alex. That way you can't hear what Mark's saying to it. Mark, 30 seconds. Head to head. You can pass. Here is your chance to beat the Pundit. You ready?
Okay.
Great stuff. If I can just find the appropriate piece of paper, because you do find that sometimes helps. Here we go. Okay. Your 30 seconds starts now. Who will Scotland face in their Euro playoff semi-final?
Israel.
What age is Celtic Scott Brown?
34.
Who do Falkirk face tonight in the Scottish Cup?
Arbroath.
What is the full name of Highland League team Forres?
Forres Mechanics.
Where did Rangers sign Richard Gough from?
Pass.
What is the name of Clyde's home ground?
Pass.
Where did Stevie Mallon play immediately before joining Hibs?
Motherwell.
Okay, let's bring Alex Ray back. Alex, can you hear us?
Yes.
Couple of easy ones in there, I must say. No, I'm deadly serious. I'm retiring you if you don't get some of these right. Genuinely, you ready?
Go.
Right, okay. Who will Scotland face in their Euro playoff semi-final?
Israel.
What age is Celtic Scott Brown?
34.
Who do Falkirk face tonight in the Scottish
Cup? Linlithgow Rose.
What is the full name of the Highland League team Forres?
Mechanics.
Where did Rangers sign Richard Gough from?
Tottenham.
What is the name of Clyde's home ground?
Broadwood.
Where did Stevie Mallon play immediately before joining Hibs?
Barnsley.
And in what year did St Mirren move from Love Street to their current ground?
2010.
Nah, too late, you said 2004. Mark, what do you think? Think he's done you? What do you think, Mark? Confident?
Not at all.
At least he's honest. Let's go through and find out. Always frustrating, Hugh, when we speak immediately before Beat the Pundit starts and you forget that those are questions on Beat the Pundit. But anyway, who will Scotland face in the Euro playoff semi-final? Israel. At least you were both listening.
Brilliant.
You got that one right. 1-1. Scott Brown is 34. Both got that right. 2-2.
Mark wasn't listening that closely because Falkirk faced Linlithgow Rose. It's on the telly. Alex Ray goes in 3-2 in front. Mark not giving up without a fight though. He knew for his mechanics. So he's still hanging in there at this point, trailing by one after four questions. This is where Alex Ray finishes strongly. Richard Goff signed from Spurs to go two in front. Clyde played at Broadwood to go three in front. And Stevie Mallon played at Barnsley to go four in front. It didn't matter in the end. It was 2009 when St Mirren moved. So that was a seven for Alex Ray and a three for you, Mark. So you can rest easy. He will not be turning up at your door tonight.
Taught an absolute
waste of mood
anyway.
Well played, mate.
Good man. That was Mark and Clyde Bank on Beat the Pundit. Your chance to do that, Beat the Pundit, and win your sign ball returns on Monday night. You're happy with that? That's convincing.
Yeah,
professional job,
yeah,
would
absolutely.
You say?
A nice wee one earlier on the week as well, so it's been a good week all round.
A couple of easy questions in there,
yeah,
I must say.
Absolutely.
I mean, especially when you give the answers away just before it starts. But I had to tee up the next section of the show. That's what it's all about. Give us a call right now, 01419511025, to give us your reaction to that draw for Scotland. Are you giving us a good chance? No chance? Somewhere in the middle, you tell us. Because the picture looks like this. We've been drawn at home to face Israel on Thursday the 26th of March. It's one game. It's at Hampden, and if we win that 5 days later on Tuesday the 31st, we then have to go away and face the winner of Norway or Serbia. That's Tuesday the 31st of March, like we say. If you remember Hugh Keevans, this time last year actually, we watched Scotland beat Israel 3-2 at Hampden. James Forrest got his hat-trick.
Yep.
Berham Kayal scored for Israel. You'll all remember that game. We actually did lose 2-1 over there, and that was the game we played about 30 minutes with 10 men. John Souter got sent off. So overall picture, what do you think?
In a word, Israel beatable. In a word, Norway or Serbia away, debatable. We've heard a lot about how in March the Tartan Army will come back to the fold. They will fill Hampden. They will try to do what they can to get Scotland over the line. Israel, when I say beatable, I do not say easily beatable, but have to be beatable at Hampden. The other two away from home, particularly Norway, it's a tough ask. But if you're going to end 22 years of misery, then you have to do the hard yards in order to do so.
Yeah, 01419511025. What do you think? Let's start with Kenny in East Kilbride. Hi, Kenny.
Hi, guys. How you doing?
Kenny. Hi, Kenny. How do you assess that?
First time caller.
All right, Kenny.
First time caller. I've tried to get through before, never got on.
This is your lucky night, Kenny.
Yeah, I know. Listen to the programme all week, but nobody's mentioned in the 2020 Euros, if we do qualify, they're going to be in the same group as England.
Well, it'd be premature to mention the group before you're in the group.
No, you. Every group has been designated two cities, right? Group D is Hampden and Wembley.
Yep.
Right? So, you're going to turn Scotland away from Hampden. So, Scotland and England will be in the same group. And I've been online, I've checked it out, and that is true.
Yeah, you're right.
It's in the centre for Scottish players to play, and starting army going to London again.
Yeah, but as I say, though, it'd be premature to discuss that when you've still got Israel to play. And then either Norway or Serbia away from home. So it'd be wildly premature to discuss the group.
Friday night though, Alex, I don't mind dreaming aimlessly at this stage. If a lot of football to be played before then, but if it were to happen,
it'd be brilliant. It'd be absolutely brilliant. The old enemy in a group would be the icing on the cake. I think the bigger picture for me is 20 odd years without. I think that should be a bigger motivation to try and get to a major tournament, Gordon. And I think, you know, when you look at Israel, I think we can take care of them. All the preparation work will already be done, Hugh. They know these players, they know the system and so forth. And particularly a rocking Hampden, I think it's a different proposition.
If Kenny wants to discuss the group on a hypothetical basis, then my hypothetical answer to him is, given the way our central defensive pairings are looking at the minute, I don't fancy playing England.
Do you remember last time Scotland were at Wembley, Hugh? You and I were there working for the show. we got absolutely hammered. It was a difficult night, and when the clock struck midnight, it was your birthday.
Correct.
So we went back to the hotel. And listen, it's no secret, we don't encourage irresponsible behaviour in this firm, but it's no secret you like a glass of red. And like I say, the clock had struck midnight. It was your birthday. And what did we find when we got back to the hotel?
The Tartan Army had been up to a bit of nonsense in our hotel, and the bar was shut.
But that's why I was laughing.
The look in his face. Yeah, you should have seen it. Oh my goodness. He was distraught.
That night we lost 3-0, Gordon, and you remember that England toyed with us, basically, as Conor Salmon puts Falkirk one up against Linlithgow Rose in the cup. England toyed with us, and you know, we haven't had the best defensive partnerships under Steve Clarke, and it's getting hard there for him, and England would be formidable opponents.
Kenny, you're right, but there is a lot of football to go before we can really consider it. What do you make of the draw for the playoffs? Israel and then either Norway or Serbia away, is that doable?
I'd have preferred the home tie in the final.
Yeah, absolutely.
Right. But if I was thinking between the two of them, I'd probably like Norway.
Alex, how much of a blow was that?
Yeah, absolutely.
Is it, you know, you get given with one hand, taken away with the other. I think Israel at home, I think most people, as Hugh says, no one's saying it's going to be easy, yes, but doable. How crucial could it be, the fact that that second game's away? How much more difficult does it make it?
I think when you look at the rankings as well, I think Norway are around about the 44, 45, something like that, seeded. Serbia's 33, I think. So you're obviously against good teams. When you look at the personnel that some of these guys have got, we had a wee look earlier on. If you take Norway, you've got Elanussi. I was talking about the boy in the summer, Sander Berg. You know, it was at Genk when I seen him. Chelsea are now chasing him. You've got Josh King and the boy Haaland, who's doing terrific stuff at Salzburg. So they will be formidable, particularly Norway, kind of really rocking. But I think Serbia as well, when you look at the personnel, Gordon, you've got Mitrovic, Sergei Milinkovic, Tadic, Kolarov, you know, so they've got really good players at their disposal. But I think if we can actually beat Israel, I still think in a one-off game, you've got potential to, you know, go over and get a result.
I mean, football's funny because you talk about, you know, perception. There is every chance that on Norway's version of Clyde One Super Scoreboard tonight, they are saying, well, you know, Scotland have got Andy Robertson and they've got Ryan Fraser and they've got Scott McTominay. You know, there is every chance they're having those discussions as well. That's not to say that you're wrong. But I just wonder if it's the home and away factor. Gordon, how much does that
see if
impact?
See if you look at recently, in the last couple of years, Hugh, Scotland's home form has been decent. You know, you look at it, it's been not bad. We haven't really been turned over, you know, in consecutive games and so forth.
But the away forms, that make it more difficult.
I think it's just a slightly different proposition, you know. But again, it's a one-off game. It's almost like a cup final, and the rewards are massive. So I think anything can happen.
Well, let's find out what Andy and Dennison thinks of it. Andy, are you giving us a chance?
Hi there, good evening.
Hello.
Hi, Andy.
I'm just looking at that draw, and I've got to say, I think Israel at home shouldn't present us with any major difficulties. The big challenge comes, if we do get to the final, touch wood, would be Norway or Serbia away from home. On paper, I would probably say we've actually got a better squad than both of those teams. What we've got to hope is that Steve Clarke's able to set up in that way that he was so famous for at Kilmarnock, where he's able to hold the ball, breaking the counter. Although, obviously, as well, you've got to look at the fact that it's a playoff and they'll need to take their chances. So the strikers probably, striker and centre-backs, as you have mentioned, are the two kind of key areas for that, for those upcoming playoffs.
Yeah, I think Andy makes a really good point, Hugh. And again, we're not dismissing Israel. We're just looking at, we've beaten them recently. They've won only one of the last seven games. Quite frankly, if you can't win that at Hampden, you can forget it. You don't deserve to be there. The next barrier does look like a more difficult one to overcome, and it's those key areas. So if our main concern is centre back, we're going to be up against Norway's strikers, which at the moment are Josh King, who's pretty good, I think we can all agree.
Lively.
We see him, and then the guy who's really causing a stir across Europe at the moment, Erling Haaland. He's only 19 years of age. He's got 22 goals in 18 games this season. He's the top scorer in the Champions League on 7. So if you're talking about key battles within a game, their strikers against our defenders, that could be tough.
But where they are on the same page as us is that the final is March 31. In other words, 4.5 months away. An awful lot of things can happen, good and bad, to Norway, to Serbia and to Scotland. There can be loss of form. There can be injury. it's impossible to say who takes the field 4.5 months from now. All I'll say again, Israel at home, beatable. Norway or Serbia away, debatable.
I mean, Alex, at the same time, you have to be positive. You get to this stage, yeah. We won our Nations League group. We deserve to be there. We deserve to be in that mix. And you have to maintain that positivity, that belief. It's worth remembering that for all these good players Norway have, they're in the playoffs for a reason as well.
Yes.
They didn't win their group. They finished third behind, yes, Spain and Sweden, but they didn't finish above Sweden. They're yeah. not
world beaters.
Yeah, that's probably the best phrase for it. To then balance that up, though, their home record is quite impressive. They lost at home to Germany, I think, back in 2016, and have not lost at home since. That includes visits from Czech Republic, Spain, Romania, Sweden yeah. twice. So it's the fact that it's over there that seems to be making it difficult. No one's saying that Norway are world beaters. They can't be a million miles away from us.
Yeah, I think if you look back at their group stages, you were right in saying that they finished third, but they only lost one game.
Yeah, I think Spain went there and Spain, only drew, didn't they?
Yes, and so you have to take that into consideration, Gordon. It will be a difficult game. The one thing that caught me there when you were reading out these stats, because I do like a stat, see the boy Erling Haaland, 22 goals in 18 games, 7 goals in the Champions League queue, and he's only 19. Yeah. That really is impressive. But the thing is, if you're going to do that now, Andy's come on there and he says he feels if we have better players now. I think still, and I don't want to sound pessimistic on the back of a couple of good results for Scotland there. However, I still think defensively at centre half, we look a bit rocky. They won't have a lot of time to. We're still in the discussion whether the weekend fixtures may well get cancelled, Gordon, to give the manager, Steve Clark, time to get his players up to speed. And, you know, so I think when you look at all this, it would be extremely difficult, but I just think because if you can get through Israel and get to a one-off game, you would take that. You'd take that because this wasn't on the table. This Nations League is just a new thing.
Added
so,
bonus.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's
great,
what it is.
Great deal of pressure on us at home against Israel because part of the tournament is being staged at Hampden.
Mm-hmm.
For us to fail to qualify for a tournament that has been partially staged at Hampden would be a major embarrassment and also what some would choose to call the bottom of the barrel.
What do you think, Andy? You want to come back in?
Well, I have to agree. If we can't qualify for a tournament that's going to be played at Hampden, this is the best chance we're probably ever going to get when you look at the Nations League, the way it's set up, because obviously we now go up into Pot B next time round, mm-hmm. where we're up against these harder teams. This is probably our best chance we're going to get for a long time. So, but no, I'll be there at Hampden, hopefully. I'm sure tickets will be hard to get when it comes around, and hopefully the Hampden Roar will be back again.
Yeah, absolutely. That stage here, there's no real choice. We just have to. There's no choice yeah. at all. You have to. We're yes. going to have to believe. We're going to have to believe you can pull something off. It's not Mission Impossible. Let's not over exaggerate it. I wonder though, just to go back on something that you're saying. Yes, this Nations League opened up a lovely new path, and yes, it's at Hampden. But the fact that it does come down to potentially a one-off game away to Norway, does it really make it a disgrace if we can't overcome that? Are we in a position that's a disgrace?
Everything will not be. Taken from that one game against Norway or Serbia. It will be taken as a whole, starting in Kazakhstan and the defeat there and ending on the 31st of March. And it will be seen as an embarrassment not to be at a tournament being staged in your own country.
Okay, 01419511025. Thanks to Andy and Dennis. Keep those coming and we'll get the guys a full-time teaser. Get your pen and paper ready. Questions next.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard with Thompson's Personal Injury Solicitors. Getting you full compensation is their goal. Talk to Thompson's.com.
Hugh Keevans and Alex Ray here with me, Gordon Duncan, on tonight's Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Everyone loves an underdog story.
Whoa.
Hugh
Keevans.
Linlithgow Rose have just equalised against Falkirk and it's Tommy Coyne. Obviously not that one, but son of
yeah.
Tommy Coyne.
Yes. A fine striker, his dad was too. And it's a bit of a shock for Falkirk, who after 21 minutes of the game had dominated the play. But it's 1-1 and it's cup football.
Poacher's goal as well, back post, glancing header, lovely.
So Falkirk rattled at their near neighbours, Linlithgow Rose. Linlithgow 1, Falkirk 1. What a giant killing that would be. I mean, I know Falkirk are now League 1, but that's still
an impressive
scalp, isn't it? An extremely impressive, if it comes off, still a long way to go football wise. Don't forget, we're on Twitter at Clyde SSB. Let's just read the teaser out, I think, before we get to the tweets and more calls. Relatively straightforward. That's the category I'd put this one in
for
tonight.
Us to?
Yeah, even for you two. Jerry in Erskine says, currently in the Scottish Premiership, 9 players have Northern Ireland caps. Can you name them? So currently in the Scottish Premiership, there are 9 players who have Northern Ireland caps. Can you name them? Just a reminder about housekeeping. If you want to hear your question in the show in the future, the address you need is fulltime@clyde1.com. That's the way it works. You send the questions in, we give it to the guys in the last 30 minutes. So basically, blame Jerry and Erskine for
Michael
tonight's question.
Smith, Glenn Whelan.
Michael Smith of
who did Harps.
It? Yep.
And Glenn Whelan.
No.
Oh.
Stephen Davis.
Yeah, he's got quite a few, doesn't he?
Yeah, I think he's just broke the 100 mark. Yeah,
more than that.
Yeah, well, it's about 115. Washington.
Lovely, well done.
Niall McGinn.
Oh, that's a great start. Right, we'll leave it there. You're almost halfway there. You've got Stephen Davis, Connor Washington, Michael Smith and Niall McGinn. Looking for the 9 players currently in the Scottish Premiership who have international caps for Northern Ireland. So 4 down, 5 to go. On Twitter, Robert Taylor says, the difference between Scotland and a lot of these other big countries, they qualify regularly and generally spend a lot more time as a squad. Scotland don't get game time together. Dennis Deeney says, Alex, I know you like your stats. Young Haaland scored 9 in one game this year for the under-20s. He was also born in Leeds. That's because he's also the son of
Alfie.
He is, isn't he?
Known for the tackle by Roy Keane.
Yeah, there we go. So that's what we could potentially come up against. Kevin McHugh says, Norway and Serbia are beatable. Don't forget they didn't do too well in the groups either. And I think that's an important point, Alex. Yes, they've got good players, but the genuinely brilliant European sides are the ones that scooshed their qualifying groups, because there are two places up for grabs. We were poor at times. In fact, we were extremely poor at times. But in all honesty, we were very unlikely to get the better of Russia or Belgium.
Yeah.
The top teams scoosh the groups. The ones who are in the playoffs, yes, they can be good. Yes, they can have playoff. Yes, they can have good individuals. But they can't be that good, I suppose, is what I'm trying to say.
We have two areas of vulnerability. Certainly in central defence. You could not deny that we don't have a proper, solid central defensive partnership. Also, our best bet for a goal right now is John McGinn. We don't have an out-and-out striker. We're very interested to see how Lee Griffiths does from tomorrow and there forward, because he would be happily put into the squad by Steve Clarke if he could maintain form from now until March. But at the moment, we lack a striker and we don't have a central defensive partnership.
Just in case you missed that at the top of the show, we did hear from Neil Lennon saying that Lee Griffiths will be involved in the squad tomorrow. Let's not get ahead of ourselves. He has to re-establish himself at Celtic and take it from there. Yep. But we've got a few months. It'll be interesting to see how those next few months pan out. You never know. Maybe Norway and Serbia will batter lumps out each other on the Thursday. We'll squish past Israel, and whoever gets through will have injuries, suspensions, and we'll just turn up and do the business.
And then we'll go on and win the Eurovision Song Contest.
Yeah, I like it. I like your optimism for a Friday night. Let's speak to George in Liverpool. Hi, George.
Hi, guys. Coincidentally, what you've just been talking about, that's what my question was going to be about.
I'll go for it. What's the question?
So, yeah, it was, right, now we know who we've got to play against in the playoffs. First it's Israel, and if we get past Israel, then it'd be either Serbia or Norway.
Yeah.
So this is going to be a really annoying question, guys, because you've kind of answered it. So my question was going to be, right, between now and March, between now and the playoffs, obviously we've got a bit of work to do, and I think it was Hugh Keevans. Hi, Hugh. You identified our key problem areas, our central defensive partnership, and up front, midfield. We are highly blessed. Yep. You know, we've got a very good midfield, and that is something to be very thankful for. But you know, it's like, right, so what do we do between now and these playoff games? Do we, like, for example, the number of call-offs prior to the last internationals and things like that? Do we try and reconcile with the players that, you know, obviously some were injured, like Andy Robertson, and I think Kieran Tierney was injured. Then you've got Lee Griffiths coming back. Ryan Fraser, I think, was injured as well. And then there was a couple of players that were just, you know, hovering over selection. Do we try and get some of these players back? Do we look to our under-21 side and try and promote some players? You mentioned to you about up front. Oh. I mean, certainly Lee Griffiths is good. Mikey Johnson, if he comes back from injury in time, was banging the goals in for Celtic and was playing well for the under-21s. I've mentioned previously in the past, though I think he's been injured for a wee while, Fraser Hornby's got a good reputation in the under-21s. Do we look to maybe, because he's got a Duncan Ferguson type of presence, do we look, you know, to bring...
Now is not the time. Now is not the time, George, to be promoting boys on a wing and a prayer from the under-21 side. Now we need people who have done course and distance. We have to hope that injury doesn't get in the way. We also have to acknowledge that clubs of the size of Liverpool and Manchester United and Aston Villa dictate to players, and we have to hope that, for example, Liverpool aren't at an advanced stage of the Champions League and reluctant to have Andy Robertson go through too many games. We have to hope that the likes of Aston Villa are not troubled by relegation and that they are reluctant to release John McGinn. We have to hope. We're at their mercy. And up front, we have to hope that Lee Griffiths makes a sustained comeback for Celtic, because he at least is an out-and-out striker. But 4.5 months to go. We'll need to wait to see what position we are in. But we can't dictate to Liverpool and Man U and Villa. They dictate to us.
You'd like to think at that stage, Alex, the conversation becomes different. It's frustrating everyone, because George mentions a couple, and he's right. I think I saw earlier in the week that Andy Robertson remains a doubt for Liverpool this weekend. So there's no, you know, he was injured. That's why he pulled out the squad. Scott McTominay's out for 2 weeks.
Yeah.
So he was injured. He couldn't come to Scotland. The ones that aren't as straightforward is Kieran Tierney. He's not injured, Alex. He played for Arsenal after he pulled out the squad. Clubs are trying to put on a bit of pressure, and by the way, loads more do it. You better believe that Aston Villa would love it for John McGinn to not have gone away and played. But some players are able to turn up, and
the issues are Champions League football and possible top four places in England, relegation in England.
Yeah, absolutely.
There are big issues that will be addressed around about March 31.
Surely at that time, like I say though, Hugh, surely the conversation becomes different when it's the playoffs. Surely the clubs, their influence, or the likelihood that they try and exert that influence, lessens.
I honestly think that if you're Jurgen Klopp and it's the advanced stages of the Champions League, and also holding off Man City and trying to win the first title for Liverpool for decades,
you think they'll pull them, Hugh?
You think he would say, well, I'm sorry for your plight, but it's not my concern.
I know what you're saying, because it's not his concern, and I'm not saying he would drive them there himself and be delighted about it, but that getting to that stage of serious competition for the country, I'd be amazed if that happened with any more than, say, one or two.
I think you will find that the players, the closer this gets as well, gets there, Gordon, they will want to be involved in this because of the magnitude. It's an opportunity to impact this. You know, they will go down as one of the first in 20 odd years of actually qualifying. So I think most of the players would want to play in this. And I think you're absolutely right. I think that guys like Andy Robertson, you may well struggle to make this weekend. But see, going forward, I would like to see the SFA invoke a wee bit more flex our muscles, Gordon. You know, and if it became a habit with one or two players, then just start saying to them, we're going to put the 5-day rule on and then not play at the weekend for the club.
Let's get another view from Craig in Johnston. Thank you very much to George in Liverpool, by the way. Let's see what Craig's got for us. Hi, Craig.
Good evening, panel. How are we?
Good, thank you, Craig. What do you make of all this then? Are you giving us a chance?
I was speaking to the guy who does the kind of the look through the phone calls and stuff like that, and I was saying to him.
He's Canadian, Israel, he's got no interest in this.
Ice hockey, he's in the ice hockey, is there, Andy?
I think when we play Israel, I think we'll pack Camden. I think it'll be the first time in years we'll sell that out. I think it's going to be a class atmosphere. I'll be going to myself, getting behind the country. I'm 21 year old and I've never seen my country at a major tournament, so this is the first chance that I really think that this could be us. Under Gordon Strachan, I thought we might have been able to make it, but unfortunately not. If we get through Israel, I personally feel we'll be playing Norway. I think Norway will turn over Serbia. If we do play Norway, I think it's going to be a very, very difficult task. I think you've got to look at the summer of play. I'm not clued up on my Norwegian footballers, but there's three big names that stick out to me. It's Christopher Ayer, it's Mohamed Elneny, and it's Erling Braut Haaland from Red Bull Salzburg. I mean, you look at the goals that boy Haaland scored in the Champions League and in domestic league, you look at that, that's frightening. That is absolutely frightening, and the fact that we would have to go there and play them when he's on that form is absolutely terrifying. When you've got Scott McKenna and the boy Gallagher possibly playing the two centre-backs up against Haaland, who has turned over the likes of Virgil van Dijk and stuff like that in the Champions League.
Yeah, I mean, Craig, I wouldn't disagree with that. Haaland looks like a real, real prospect. He's scoring 7 goals already in the Champions League. He's the top scorer in the group stages. I'm trying to word this carefully because Elneny is a very good player. We've seen him. Christopher Ayer is a very good player. But do we sometimes do ourselves a disservice, Craig? I will repeat something I said earlier on. Yep. If you were looking at this, if you were a Norwegian fan, surely you would be able to then rhyme off Andy Robertson and Scott McTominay and John McGinn, because these are guys they'll see on television all the time playing in the English Premier League. Should we be more fearful of Mohamed Elneny than Norway should be of some of those guys that I just mentioned?
See, it'd be brilliant if they were playing in the Scotland squad every time we had an international break.
True.
But you see these boys pulling, out, because they would have watched. Some of them might have watched, or they'll be watching the highlights of our game against Kazakhstan, and they'll be looking at that thinking, they've got that boy Andy Robertson, they've got that boy Scott McTominay, Kieran Tierney. Boys are on big packets of money every week. You look at Kieran Tierney, just went for $25 million. They'll be looking at that squad and thinking, but where is he? Why is he not there? And then they'll see the pictures that came out today of him training in Arsenal. Arsenal put up pictures of him training shorts and T-shirts, even though it was freezing weather. I mean, I looked at that and I thought, hold on a minute, I thought he was injured. How come he wasn't in the Scotland setup? I mean, it's boys like these. I just genuinely think some of them just can't be bothered.
I don't think that would be said of Kieran Tierney. Yeah. That's not his style. As I said earlier,
the clubs who players now have a dictate, level of power, don't they?
Yeah, players dictate, or are dictated to, by the clubs. And Arsenal, through Unai Emery, say that he's managing an injury and therefore could not be made available. Now, Steve Clarke can contest this further down the line by saying, all right, then the 5-day rule, if he can't play for us on Wednesday, he can't play for you on Saturday. But it remains to be seen what happens. As I say, 4.5 months from now, the picture will either be clearer or as clear as mud, because who knows what issues Arsenal might have 4.5 months from now. Who knows where Liverpool will be in terms of their league and the Champions League. There are so many imponderables, and we're going to have to wait 4 months to find out what they are.
Craig and Johnson, thank you very much. Maybe speak to you over the weekend, depending on how your Kilmarnock side get on. What about tonight's teaser? Jerry in Erskine says, can you name the 9 players in the Scottish Premiership at the moment who have caps for Northern Ireland? You're doing not too bad. You've actually got 4 already. You've got Stephen Davis, you've got Connor Washington, Michael Smith and Niall McGinn. Stephen Davis is on Twitter. He's thrown in one that you've not got yet. Who else has taken part? Mikey has. I think Mikey might have rhymed them all off.
Stop it.
By the way, I think so. Yeah, I think so. What have you two got?
What about a boy Jones?
Jordan Jones?
Yes.
At Rangers?
Yes.
Thank you.
Right.
No, I'm struggling. 5 I've got, Hugh.
5 down, 4 to go.
Kennedy, it's a boy Kennedy.
Matthew Kennedy, from St. Johnson.
No caps yet. I don't think, by the way, I'll tell you what, Jerry sent this question maybe a couple of weeks ago, so I'll check that for you.
By the way,
case,
that could be. I'm sure he just broke through recently.
He certainly got call ups, and let's check if he got on.
All right, okay.
And I'll do that during these. We'll get the answers next.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard with Thompson's Personal Injury Solicitors. They play to win every time. Talk to Thompson's.com.
Into the final part of tonight's Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Alex Ray is here, Hugh Keevans is alongside him, and at the moment I can tell you Linlithgow Rose 1 Falkirk 2 is the scoreline from the derby in the Scottish Cup. Connor Salmond with with a double for Falkirk. Declan McManus thought he had made it 3-1. The referee had other ideas, and for that new interim duo of Lee Miller and David McCracken, it's well, so far so good in terms of the scoreboard, but I'm sure they'll be hoping for a bit more comfort in the scoreline.
Exactly. But they may have to wait until the second half to find it, because we're almost at the interval.
Yes, we are. Let's revisit the teaser quickly. Tonight's question, and remember, we're always on the lookout for these questions. If you want to hear your question on the show in the future, the address you need is fulltime@clyde1.com. That's exactly the address Jerry used tonight. Jerry in Erskine says, can you name the 9 players currently in the Scottish Premiership who have Northern Ireland caps? You started like a steam train. You were absolutely flying. Since then, the train's broken down, I must say. Stephen Davis, Jordan Jones, Connor Washington, Michael Smith, Niall McGinn. So you've got 5 down, 4 to go.
I'm struggling at the moment, I have to be honest.
We might need clues.
Jordan has got every one of them on Twitter. Well done to Jordan. And one of them's a cracker. The rest, I'm not, I've no sympathy with you for the rest. The rest are doable. One is
brilliant.
Great knowledge if you get one of them. But there are a couple of other ones there that I'm disappointed in you, I must say. What about other clubs? Right? I'll try and nudge you in the right direction. What are you thinking?
Kilmarnock. I feel as if there's an Irishman at Kilmarnock. What did boy Bruce, where did he get a cap?
I cannot believe you've gone and nailed the difficult one. That's the difficult one.
Oh, I don't believe it.
You see,
I mean, he's Steve Bruce's boy, and Bruce played for England, did he not? So,
brilliant.
Oh, I can't believe it.
Alec Bruce.
Yes, the Brewster.
They call that one better to be lucky than good, because that was a complete guess. Alex Bruce, well done. You've got 3 other ones that are much easier than that.
I know, but I'm more interested in getting the hard ones. I'll leave the easy ones to Hugo.
Glory Hunter. Speaking of which, tremendous timing on my part the other day. As you bored everyone to tears with the story, we don't need to go over it. I've been off, you obviously noticed. Bedbound or housebound, certainly. And you know what you do when you're off? You just flick through sports channels constantly. Honestly, it's the sports channels I flick through constantly.
So you do.
And you're watching seasons from 92 and from 2001, and you're flicking through all. So the other day I come down, surgical stockings on, Sky Sports, Premiership years, magnificent.
Beautiful.
Love it. Trip down memory lane, up at Pops, Man United, and it says, and there was a feisty encounter against Sunderland. Next thing, there's the bold Alex Ray sticking the nut on Andy Cole. Red card to them both. Off you go. A wee chuckle to myself, I must admit.
I have to be honest,
you're much more mild mannered.
Graham Paul ruined the game. There was no headbutt involved. It was a little kind of,
oh, it was a nudge with the head, sorry.
Yeah, it was nothing, Hugh.
Are you back to me and Bruni? There was no pinning against any wall.
Yes.
So just it was a nudge with the head. Was it?
I was actually looking at that as well, going, somebody sent me a picture, and I think it was me.
It was
first or second V4th. And I think I'd run about February time. It was a brilliant time.
I'll hold my hands up here and say I've been a bit cheeky with this, because I sent you that one on Twitter, didn't I? What I didn't tell you is, to be fair, the very next day was the 30 yard screamer into the top corner against Bolton.
I'm glad you're kind of highlighting all the plus points. Yeah,
I kept that one to
top
myself.
Top 50 Premier League goals, if anybody wants to see it.
It wasn't bad, and I say that through gritted teeth, but it wasn't bad at all. Let's look at one of the other big fixtures tomorrow. Really significant day for Hibs. It's a new era. Jack Ross in charge, confident, as you would imagine, that he can turn their fortunes around with the players that are already there. He takes charge for the first time against Motherwell at home, his side at the moment 8th in the Premiership.
I think being at home is a great way to start. Having been involved in games at Easter Road as a player, coach and manager, I always enjoyed going there. It's a terrific venue to be involved in, and now having the opportunity to be there as a manager at Hibs is fantastic. So, that good barometer for us for me to gauge where we're at and obviously where we aspire to be, because right now Motherwell are in positions in the league that we would like to be in at this moment in time, if you like, give us that platform. So a good test for us.
Yeah, absolutely.
said good barometer, and it is. Use any expression you like, acid test. Jack is very articulate. He's had his ups and downs at Sunderland, but he's clearly a good manager. He wouldn't have got to Sunderland in the first place. But now, I'm afraid the talking has to stop. The photographs have been put away, and now you have to return results. Mm.
And Alex, listen, you don't have to win your first game in charge, obviously. Absolutely. You can win them at any stage.
But it helps.
It does, doesn't it? It gives you... Forget the fans for a second. Not to say that they're not important. They're hugely important. But does it make it easier for players to buy into what a new manager does if they get that victory on the board quickly?
Yeah. And I think also, Gordon, I think it's important to highlight that they're only 2 points off six. So aesthetically, they will jump up the league as well, you would imagine, you know, above Ross County. So... it's an opportunity for Jack to get into that top six, and it's also, you know, to get back up and running after the Sunderland one. But I think it's a brilliant job, because you look at, you know, they probably need a couple of players in January, a bit more robust, still a bit flimsy to me, and I think he can actually do that. So, you know, I think it's a good job, because you were there looking up the way.
And of course, up against Motherwell, a mention to the good folks there, Hugh, who appreciated that we were doing the show from my living room last night. Mm-hmm. And Charles Dunn, the Motherwell defender, rang the doorbell and just came and got involved in the show midway through.
Right out of the blue.
He kicked Mark Wilson off the nice armchair. Mark Wilson had to sit on the floor like a wee boy at Christmas when the adults come in and take the seat. And just came in and was chatting away about the job Stephen Robinson's doing, the speculation linking him with other jobs and so on. If you remember, a real sign of where him have been at was the convincing victory for Motherwell when the sides met at Fir Park. Can Motherwell go there and cause them difficulties?
Without question. You know, that Jack in his interview there said that Motherwell are where Hibs ought to be and have the number of points that Hibs should be getting. Mm. And that's because they've got a very good manager and very good players, and they are a pest to Jack Ross in his first game as Hibs manager, because, as I say, a good start is imperative.
Okay, quick, three more on the teaser. I've teed it up beautifully for you. Come on, Motherwell there. They've got the Northern Irish manager. They must have some Northern Irish players.
Motherwell.
One of them's been pretty good this season.
Holworth?
Nope, he's Scottish, I think.
Right, okay.
What's he saying? Another one that's been pretty good. Who's been scoring a lot of goals? Who's been surprising
Liam
people?
Liam Donnelly.
Liam Donnelly.
Uh-huh. Mm. And what about in goal?
This is... Oh, Gillespie.
No, he's English, but the other one must be one of the best number two goalies in the league, because there was a time when this guy was...
He's that good that we can't even remember him. Who is he?
No, but think about it. He just was on fire, and then he's had a really difficult time. TC.
Carson.
Trevor Carson. Oh, and the last one, Ross County. Striker
Mackay.
Billy Mackay.
You know, I thought about him earlier.
There we go. Listen, it's all set up for a really good weekend. It's going to be great to have the domestic football back. Please do join us from 2 o'clock tomorrow. Some really big games across the divisions that you want to keep your eyes on. In the Premiership, Celtic, Livy, Hibs, Motherwell, Kilmarnock, Hearts and St Mirren, Ross County. I will be here, Alex Ray will be here, but we're taking Hugh Keevans out after tonight's show for his 70th birthday, so you have to tune in at 2 o'clock tomorrow just to make sure that he makes it along on time. In the meantime, stay there. GBX Friday's up next.
Super Scoreboard with Thompson's Personal Injury Solicitors. Compensation you deserve. When there's been foul play, talk to Thompson's.com.